Well, hey guys, welcome to my daily update video. I haven't done one for a few days, but I thought I'd come out and record a video in this beautiful weather. Hey, for the whole month of July, I'm going to be teaching in the churches I lead and the ministry traveling settings I'll be involved in, all about our inheritance in Christ. There's a really simple thing, and I'm going to jump at this in a moment, that we shouldn't be begging God for things He's already given to us. That's one of the greatest keys I know to the Christian life. But more of that in a minute. I've had a really busy month of June. We were in Ireland, in Canada, several places here in New England, New Hampshire a couple of times. I have a quieter month of July. I'm going to be in my church in Norwalk on Saturday, Sturbridge Sunday, New York City on Tuesday. This is a quiet week. And I've got about 10 days at home. Later in the month, I'll be traveling to France. And I have a couple of meetings in France, in Chambon-sur-Lignon and Tons. But apart from two Sunday meetings, I'm going to have lots of rest and relaxation with my family in France. I appreciate your prayers. As always, if we can pray for you, do drop me a line. I'd love to do that. I want to say again a big thanks to the partners of my ministry. We really love and appreciate you guys. I'm currently working on a new writing project, writing a second book, which I hope to release later in the year. So again, appreciate your prayers for that. And lastly, I want to say a big thanks. We're just a pip under 700,000 subscribers to this YouTube channel. So really excited about that. I believe by God's grace, we're going to hit 1 million subscribers before the end of the year. And I'm really excited about the possibilities of that. So thanks for your partnership in this. Come on, let's talk about what we have. You know, the biggest problem on planet Earth is sin, is people are out of relationship with God. So in effect, the most important message anybody generally can hear on planet Earth is be reconciled to God. God has already redeemed you. He's paid the price, despite what Calvinists say, for the sins of the whole world. Your ticket, your price, your tab you couldn't pay, the debt you couldn't pay towards God has already been paid. And, you know, it's interesting. If we went to imagine I had a non-Christian come and join me on this video, and I started imploring them, beg God to forgive you. If you keep asking God, ask God to forgive you, implore God to forgive you, maybe one day God will forgive you. Now, I have no problem telling people to ask God for His forgiveness and acknowledge their sins. But what actually really happens at salvation, it's less than, here's what doesn't happen. It's not like I come to God and say, dear Lord, would you forgive me? And the Lord says, oh, go on then, I'll forgive you. What's actually happened is Jesus has already dealt with the sin of Graham and the sin of you and the sin of the whole world. And what we do in salvation, you know, sometimes people call that a sinner's prayer. I get the cheesiness, the corniness of that. And obviously there's no magic word you need to utter, but it's a good thing that people come and acknowledge their sinfulness before God, acknowledge their own inability to save themselves, acknowledge what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, and then we receive that forgiveness. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. You know, I could say in 1984, God saved me, but He actually saved me 2,000 years ago. What happened in 1984 was I received His salvation. Now, I think most of us with good theology would agree with that. The challenge comes though, where the average Christian, having started a relationship with Jesus, having begun in that way, so often spends the rest of their Christian life begging God, listen to the words, begging God to do what He's already done. Again, if my non-Christian friend sat here for 30 years begging God to forgive him, if we were good, mature Christians, there's a point at which we might go to that guy and say, at what point will you believe you're forgiven? How will you know that you're forgiven? What would be the sign? What would be the proof? What would be the evidence that you are now forgiven? And again, I'm not trying to mock, but this is how most Christians live. Imagine if our non-Christian friend here said, well, I will know I'm forgiven when I feel forgiven, when I have a sensation of being forgiven. Now, at times, many times, people come to God in repentance and do experience, feeling, experience, subjective experience of being clean and being pure, and oh, I feel really good. But it's not the feeling that proves you are forgiven. It's the Word of God. The Bible says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say shall feel something. God, when God says shall, he means shall. My point, simple point to you today, and I'm going to be teaching on this more in the coming weeks, is that the greatest key to the non-Christian life is coming to God and receiving his forgiveness. Amen. The greatest key to the Christian life is not begging God to do things, to give you things, to heal you, to set you free, to provide for you. It's actually realizing, there's a great book by Andrew Womack we've got people studying here called You've Already Got It. And the key is to realize, actually, we already have it. I already have salvation. I already have freedom. I already have provision. I already have healing.
Well, it doesn't feel like it.
That's our problem. We believe what we feel. And most of us, especially as younger and mature believers, we will only believe something when we feel it. We're like Thomas saying, if I can feel, if I can put my finger in the hole of your hand and your side, if I can feel something, I will believe it. And God, in his graciousness at times, like he did with Thomas, will allow us those experiences. But in my experience, my knowledge of the Bible as well, there's a time where he says, I just want you to grow up in him in all things. I want you to believe these things, not because you feel them, but because my word states that they are true. I want you to believe that you are forgiven when you don't feel forgiven. I want you to believe that you are healed when you don't feel healed. You say that's denial. No, that's faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Again, I'm going to carry on teaching on this in the coming days, in my churches, here in these videos. But the challenge for you and I as believers is to find out what we already have. I'll put it this way. Paul said in Ephesians 1, God, open the eyes of our understanding. Let us know the hope of our calling. Let us know the riches of the glories of the inheritance in the saints. Paul didn't pray, God, I pray you'll give them things. In a way, Paul was saying, you've already given them everything. Of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Our challenge is to know intimate, experiential, faith-based knowledge, not intellectual head knowledge, to be fully persuaded that we've already got everything God says we have. Selah. That's a glorious truth. And if you will make that the mainstay of your Christian life, your whole life will be changed and transformed. I am utterly convinced of that. More in the days to come, but wishing you guys well wherever you're at. Want to hit the subscribe button if you haven't done that. Drop me a line, drop me a comment. I would love to hear from you. If I can pray for you in any way, let me know how I can do that. Again, if you're in New England, we'd love to see you in one of our churches. I'd love to welcome you with open arms and bless you. You need to be part of a good church that's teaching faith, that's teaching repentance, that's teaching the fullness of the Holy Spirit and allows God to move in practical ways during those services. So thanks for watching, guys, and bye for now.